Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. So sit back with your cup of coffee and your pastry and enjoy today's program, which will focus on some technical discussion in the first half and a special guest in the second half of the program. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by the premier law firm of Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about the firm, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com or give us a call at 703-218-2100. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where there are articles, videos, and audio, of course, the old radio shows are stored there, on topics of interest in tax, business, and estate planning. Today, we're going to be talking about private equity. Private equity as a phenomenon has grown in recent years such that there are trillions of dollars employed in the economy to invest in companies through the private equity source. In a typical private equity deal, you're talking about an investment of equity, not debt, in private companies. And an investor buys a stake in a private company, usually not a public company, with the hope of ultimately realizing an increase in value of that stake over time. There's a massive and variegated industry devoted to pursuing wealth creation in the private equity markets today. The practice of many people and many different parties conducting business through a partnership is an ancient practice. Among the earliest commercial partners were ones that were formed to raise money for seafaring ventures. Remember back when Christopher Columbus explored the New World, he was staked by private equity investors. Private equity firms today are groups of individuals who come together to pursue these investments in private companies. While almost all private equity professionals invest a portion of their own money, private equity firms today primarily deploy capital for the benefit of others. These firms tend to be partnerships, limited partnerships usually, similar in form to other private professional service firms like law firms or accounting firms, for example. A private equity firm today may range in size from just two people and a secretary to hundreds of investment professionals. The business model of a private equity firm is as follows. Raise money from external sources. Invest the money in a series of private equity deals, and then sell or exit those investments, often several years later. Then return the proceeds from these exits to the external capital partners and hold back 20% of the profits for the partners of the private equity firm. This 20% take is called a carried interest. Carried interests are the gravitational pull at the center of the private equity universe. General partners also earn substantial income from other fees, such as management fees and also transaction fees. Private equity firms typically raise capital for investments into a fund, usually in the form of a limited partnership, which is a kind of a fund that gives control and a disproportionate share of the profits to the general partners, even though most of the capital comes from outsiders. The limited partners in the funds, the investors, have little control over how the fund is managed and typically agree in advance to a lopsided profit-sharing agreement, as well as to other fees that are payable to the general partner. If successful, a private equity firm can create a fortune for its founders. Here's a simple example. Let's say a group of five general partners raises $500 million into a fund and invests it into a series of deals. When those investments are finally sold off, the resulting value is twice the value of the fund, of the original investment, $1 billion. This means that the fund has a profit of $500 million. As part of the profit-sharing agreement, the general partners get to keep 20% of that $500 million profit, which equals $100 million. Assuming they all share equally in this windfall, each general partner gets to keep $20 million. Nice work if you can get it. This example doesn't even factor in the other potentially lucrative management and transaction fee streams that are available to general partners. Now, it's not easy to generate a private equity fund, raise the money, and it's not easy to deploy the capital. The key skills that the general partner must have include the following. Deal sourcing. Private equity firms have to be very skilled at finding attractive investment opportunities, at figuring out what is a good investment opportunity, and generating a lot of flow of these types of deals. They also have to be adept at research and due diligence, meaning that before agreeing to do a deal, the general partner has to very painstakingly form a view on the future of a given industry or market or product, and then on the potential of a particular company in that market, it would decide whether or not to deploy the capital in the deal. They have to deeply understand the inner workings of this portfolio company that they might invest in, and based on that, determine the right price to be paid for the investment in the company. They'll build elaborate models that show what the cash flow expected to be thrown off by that company will be. And these elaborate models serve as the basis for their investment decisions. The GP, the general partner, also has to be adept in financial engineering. This is a bit of jargon that refers to a dealmaker's ability to masterfully structure an investment to his or her best advantage. A good financial engineer will be able to rework a company's balance sheet and creatively apply capital market products, most importantly, corporate loans, as a way that the equity provider can be positioned to get as much as possible from the deal. General partners who have experience in the financial markets often possess advanced financial engineering skills. In addition, the private equity firm general partner has to be skilled in operating the business. Once the private equity firm makes the investment, the general partner is charged with adding value to the company or at least monitoring it so that its performance does not deteriorate and, in fact, appreciates over time. Many firms have operating partners, executives who've had experience in the particular industry of running a company in that sector. For example, a private equity firm that acquires a chemicals company will often appoint a former CEO of another chemicals company to oversee the new investment. A GP also has to be a good salesman. They have to gain the confidence of many different parties. They have to convince investors to sign up for lengthy commitments to put in money into the fund. They also have to convince management of a potential portfolio company that they will be good and valuable investment partners. They have to convince potential buyers on the public markets or in the merger and acquisition market that the portfolio companies they are building are worthy of good valuations that will allow them to exit from the fund. Private equity firms today have larger and larger rosters of professionals charged with managing voluminous non-deal aspects of the business. These professionals include chief financial officers, operating officers, investor relations folks, and communications professionals. It also includes lawyers and human resource professionals, technology experts, and capital markets specialists. So the GP is not going to be the chief cook and bottle washer. They're going to employ the skills and resources of outside third parties. The addition of these back office professionals is part of the institutionalization of the private equity industry over time. It's moved away from its original boutique scrappy roots where historically a small group of GPs did do everything themselves. Today, it's a sophisticated industry. Most private equity funds are designed to make a number of investments over a specific amount of time. It's called the investment period, usually anywhere from 5 to 7 years. Most funds have rules against any one deal taking too much of the resources of the private equity fund. These diversification rules may say, for example, that no one private equity investment can get more than 20% of its capital from the fund. Some funds are created to do one deal. Others are going to really be investing in many different portfolio companies. There are many kinds of private equity deals, and we'll talk about that on a future show. But suffice it to say that a private equity fund is used to make equity investments in private companies. Debt used in deal structures comes from other sources, such as banks. Here's how a private equity limited partnership might work, starting with a limited partner's decision to put money into the fund. When the limited partner, you, an investor, in a private equity fund decides to invest, no money changes hands initially. Instead, the limited partner commits a certain amount of capital that is going to be managed by the general partners. In doing so, the limited partner signs a binding commitment, which is a legal agreement, to contribute capital over a period of time. In our next show, I'm going to explore a detailed example of how a private equity fund might work. But in the meantime, if you've got questions on investing in private equity funds, or how to find a private equity fund that could invest in your portfolio company, call us at Odin Feldman and Pittleman at 703-218-2100 or visit us on the web for one of the many attorneys that can help you in this complex area of law. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth, and I'm wishing you a happy holiday season, and tune in for our special guest.